Welcome to the Justice League Universe podcast. I am Sam Otten. I'm here with Alessandro, and we have a lot to talk about today. We are going to be just digging into our first real trailer of Justice League, the Snyder Cut. First of all, Alessandro, I know you've put a lot of work into getting to this point of, seeing real footage from it and know that it's happening. How did you react today to actually seeing this stuff come together?
So early on in the day, someone had leaked the trailer and I purposely avoided it because I wanted to experience it as was meant to experience it.
Yeah.
And so I waited and, but based on that and I tried to avoid people's reactions, but I sort of wasn't expecting too much, especially that Scott Mendelsohn guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was the same shots except different angles, but I don't know what he watched because these were completely new scenes.
I wonder if he got a fake leak or something to throw him off the scent, because it doesn't make any sense. It's very different.
No, not at all.
There's so much of it is completely new stuff, new feel to it, new design of things, like whole new swaths of the film that were not intact in the theatrical version. So,
right.
So how
my
did
initial
it feel
reaction,
it, yeah.
My first thing I did was my jaw dropped as soon as I saw Uxas.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of was like, okay, that's going to be the big thing. But as time passed on, I just kept getting more and more shocked. I literally was like, what? Huh? And my wife was like looking at me like, oh my God. And I just could not believe my eyes. It was so much more epic than, and we were already prepared. A lot of it were stills that we had seen, but just seeing it in motion just was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I was speechless. How about yourself?
Well, definitely. So the music threw me off at first. It was not the music that I was expecting. I know that song well.
Right. Yeah.
But when it started, I'm like, is this the right thing playing? But I kind of quickly sort of just put that aside because, Darkseid Uxas was like staring us in the face. So I'm like, okay. And then I kind of got swept up into what I was seeing in my eyeballs. Even though you and I, you especially, like we know story elements that are in this version. We've seen stills of things that were in it. We've heard people hinting at it. But just to see it looking so good, like, I was worried about, is some stuff not going to be quite finished? And, are they going to not be able to show any really epic stuff because they're just going to have to show the simpler stuff that's visually complete?
Right.
It's like, oh no, they're hitting with lots of big stuff, grand stuff, new characters, with the CG design and everything. I was just surprised at how much was offered up in this first kind of trailer.
Yeah, and actually, like, I felt like I was almost hyperventilating with the amount of excitement that I was experiencing. My heart was just racing and I felt a little faint. I was like, oh my God, it was just so overwhelming and so emotional, after 2.5 years of fighting for this to see a product of it.
And to see it actually is worth it. It was worth that effort for me, I tweeted this out, but like right away, I'm like, this just feels more cinematic. It feels more like a movie that's going to stay with you. Whereas the theatrical version, there was lots of times where it slipped into like TV looking stuff and just pedestrian looking kind of framing and composition and stuff and colors. Like this one is like, oh wow, everything we're seeing, it seems just like an amazing design and visual.
Yeah. And it blew me away more than anything from like Infinity War or Endgame. So, 4 hours of that.
Yeah, that was the other thing, just to get out of the way here up front. How did you feel about that announcement that it's going to be four parts, about an hour each? So, like, roughly 4 hours altogether?
I mean, it makes sense because it's a streaming platform and they like to probably get at least 2 months subscription from people who are just kind of tuning in for that. Ideally I would have liked to see it all at once. I hate the idea of breaking things up. Even shows I like to binge watch. Game of Thrones, I watched all together. And, I binge watched that. I didn't, go season by season. And probably a lot of people didn't enjoy Game of Thrones as much because of that. But, I get it. My wife probably is more likely to watch it now instead of sitting through 4 hours. I'm not too thrilled with it, but I'm not too bothered by it either.
Yeah, it I'm guessing just the fact that you're watching it at all, you're going to sort of forgive that pretty quickly. For me, the way that I thought about it was, okay, they can actually stretch their legs a little bit and they don't have to cut down too much stuff. I think they can leave a lot intact, or maybe even sort of like follow a little bit of it more than they thought they were going to, versus like condensing it down into 3 hours or a little over 3 hours or something. Like, I feel like it's cool. If it all looks this good as of what we saw today, right, I'm happy to get sort of as much of it as we can. So that's kind of the bright side of it that I'm looking at.
Sure. But I am a little concerned how they're going to break it up. You know, is it going to feel forced, you know, ending each hour? You know, who knows?
Yeah. But I think they have some time to, you know, they're not rushing it. I think they're going to have enough time to make those kind of creative decisions and stuff. So I think we'll give it a shot, and I think we'll be hopefully pretty happy with it. All right. So I want to hit a few categories of things with you. So you and I are both huge fans of Batman v Superman. And one of the complaints Absolutely. That we have about the theatrical cut is that there's parts of the theatrical version of Justice League that don't quite line up, or they don't seem to follow through on what like BVS was doing. So I want to kind of talk about what we see from BVS here. I want to talk about the villains. There really seems to be a stepping up their game of the villains in this versus the theatrical version. I want to talk about the heart of the film, or just the emotional kind of richness that we're getting some hints of, that I'm pretty excited about. And then also just any other things that we noticed, any visual designs or anything that kind of saw that jumped out to us. But let's start with BVS. So like, what are you thinking about in terms of a big fan of BVS and now that you've seen this trailer?
Well, I think this certainly lives up to the epicness that was BVS. It does seem like they may either be, they're definitely going to be retreading Superman's death as we saw in the trailer. Mm-hmm. So it's either going to be similar to BVS where it starts out retreading, lining up with that, or it might just be like a flashback through a dream, like Lois's dream or something like that at some point. But right there, right off the bat, that lines up. And then Steppenwolf's design obviously lines up better with what we saw in the Luther scene in PBS, the communion scene. Certainly a more palpable threat that's, you know, sort of teased in BVS.
Yeah.
How about you?
The bell being rung seems like that will more directly connect here. Yeah.
The nightmare scene, seeing a little more of what, you know, that was.
Yeah, read my mind. Like the nightmare now, like we loved the nightmare right away, you know, in BVS and stuff. But some people really gave it a hard time because they're like, I'm not sure what the purpose of that was. Right. Now it looks like we will actually be able to really say like, that's the purpose of it. It directly connects to the next movie and stuff. So that I think now will all tie together so much better rather than being this like loose thread that was just dropped by WB or whatever. So nightmare, just seeing that same glimpse of this kind of like future Earth when Superman has either, you know, gone anti-life equation and everything. I think that's a huge kind of follow through from BVS. Another one that I had too is the Flash, like, so connected to the nightmare scene, but Flash's role in BVS, I think now is going to make more sense by seeing Flash in Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, and I mentioned this in our roundtable discussion and possibly in another episode that we did. But, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, Zack practically said it in his one-on-one with Patty, his brief question with Patty. It's safe to say that Flash is going to go back in time and sort of undo some sort of, misstep. And we see that scene of him, which looks beautiful, so epic, such an epic way to portray the Speed Force. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be certainly a big, look, Endgame did time travel, but I think it did it very poorly. And obviously this is not to the same extent. It's just going to be like a sort of like a quick, you know, undo button. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it's going to be much more gratifying and make a lot more sense. So yeah.
The other big one for me, and you know, this is like one of my main sort of focal points, is Clark and Lois. I love them in Man of Steel. I love them in BVS. didn't love them so much in the theatrical version, but just from the little things that we're seeing, I'm like, this actually feels like that relationship continuing that I so wanted from Justice League. And now I feel
way more emotion.
And it just seems like the actual same characters that were from Batman v Superman and stuff.
Yep.
And Martha.
And the look on Lois's face, because we saw that clip of her looking up in one of the early trailers.
Yeah.
But this is like slightly later, and she's got this like sort of shocked, almost like heartbroken look, like, what is happening? Who is that? Yeah. Superman? Like, it's good acting on Amy Adams' part. So
yeah, and it seems like, I think that whole way that if Lois comes into the resurrected Superman sort of thing, I feel like it's going to be more emotionally true than the way she kind of arrived in the theatrical version. Because it seemed like
it was done very cheaply and forced in the theatrical. Yeah.
So those are the main things for me on the BVS side. So you mentioned the villains. The Steppenwolf design is a better continuation. But for me, one of my main reactions to seeing this was just the threat level seems to be quite a bit higher. Like it seems more visceral that like Earth is in danger, and seeing that sort of like possible future of Darkseid doing that. But also just the design of the villains fact that we have like Darkseid and Steppenwolf, and it looked like Desaad there real quickly.
Yep.
Now that's like, it's like filling out the network and the connections of the villains, not just like one guy.
Right. You know? And a lot of people were complaining that Steppenwolf was such a shallow character, shallow villain with poor motivations. So clearly it's going to be more fleshed out. We're going to have actual, backstory involved. So.
Yeah, I'm also really interested in the history lesson. I think maybe the history lesson is something that we will see more in like a later trailer, but we got the big start with Uxas and like swinging right at camera. And
I think that they weren't shy about showing that because it's not full-blown Darkseid, it's Uxas.
Yeah.
I think we will see Darkseid at the end and in all his glory. But because this is a young Darkseid and he hasn't really become full on Darkseid yet, I think that's why they were more comfortable with just like showing that.
Yeah. I'm really curious about the Steppenwolf battles now too. Like they showed that quick glimpse of Superman and Steppenwolf kind of going right at it.
There wasn't really a Superman battle in the theatrical cut. Now it looks like they're actually fighting.
Are you saying that in the theatrical cut, Superman's arrival was not something you had to add to revise your list of great Superman moments?
Definitely not.
So now we're seeing the black suit.
When he first showed up, I cringed in the theater.
Yeah.
There was a beat down. But there wasn't an actual battle. There wasn't a fight. And clearly they are confronting each other in this. So.
Yeah. And it seemed like there was a quick flash too of like some kind of ancient king, or maybe it was King Atlan or something from like the history lesson. The fights with the Amazons for the Amazon mother box. Like, I think some of the action is going to be similar to the theatrical cut, but with the new design of Steppenwolf and with Zack Snyder actually doing the final edit of like him getting to look at and approve the final, editing and effects is, I think, going to be a different story.
Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to ask you, so from villains now to like the core characters, I wanted to ask you about like the heart that you're seeing or the character development that we're getting hints of. When Zack Snyder was doing the Q&A and stuff and talking to the cast, he kind of reiterated that Cyborg's the heart of the movie. He reiterated that like Flash is going to have more of an emotional story going through it. But even just in the trailer, it just seems like there's a lot more emotional weight. You know, like we're seeing Cyborg and his father and stuff. We're seeing more of the backstory of Cyborg, Flash with or Barry Allen with Iris. Like just all of it seems like it's going to take the emotions a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually going to see Cyborg's backstory, how the accident involved with his mother. And Barry is a completely different character in this. You know, he's not a joke. You could tell just by the short scenes that we've seen. But overall, it's going to fill out more and it's not going to be as shallow. So with that will come, more of a connection with the characters and will feel their losses and wins more. Mm-hmm. So definitely there's more heart.
Yeah, I mean, Cyborg, like digging at that kind of grave site, it just felt like it was so emotionally raw. I'm just really curious about everything building up to that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I'm leaning towards that being his mother's grave because his father would have died during the course of the movie. I doubt they would have buried him so quickly. So it's possible that once his father dies, then he goes and visits his mother's grave. But also, as far as emotion, you know, there, like we talked about, there's the Lois and Clark and
Yes.
Martha connections.
Yeah.
And there's clearly more grieving on Lois's part in this than in the theatrical cut, which didn't really seem like she was grieving at all.
Yeah. Yeah, she was grieving in like a very ham-handed kind of obvious way, like her just kind of saying like, yeah, I'm having trouble dealing with it, you know, like but it's
Right.
better to show, not tell, you know, like just don't give her a
Exactly.
line to say that she's grieving, like show us some way in which she's grieving. And then I think it's going to be much more emotionally sort of resonant when Clark is there with Martha and Lois. They have like this hug. Like I'm just really looking forward to that whole scene. And also there
Yeah.
was the little glimpse of Lois answering the door and Martha's there. Like
Right.
all of that to me, I think is just going to really hit me so much better than the theatrical cut did. So I think those are
Well,
going to be some of the.
but then there's the consideration that that is actually likely Martian Manhunter
Oh,
based
right.
on the storyboards that we've seen. So,
Yeah, I haven't even thought
but
about.
on from her perspective, it is Martha.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And then Bruce too, like just Bruce and Diana. I want to see like their dynamics here, because I think quite a bit of their interactions was rewritten for the theatrical version. So I want to see like what was the original plan for Bruce, for example.
Right,
Yeah.
definitely.
So the last thing I wanted to do is just sort of also open it up to other things that you noticed, or like just visual elements that stuck out to you, or just really anything else that you noticed. I mean, for me, just
I
overall,
mean,
the visual composition seems to be it's
the
raised the bar from the prior version. But other things that you noticed or that stood out to you?
well, I mean, I did see a lot of people commenting on Twitter. You know, people mentioned the Joker card flying in the
Yep.
nightmare scene, Atlan's trident, Diana's shield. Then there was Batman, who seems more capable
Oh,
in
yeah.
holding his own, you know, deflecting the beams.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out that shot of the team at the end, presumably at the end of the film, shows Superman with the black suit.
Yep.
So, as Zach has mentioned, he has the black suit at the end of the film, and that he would be getting the blue and red suit, you know, on a journey in a later film. So, and presumably in the sequel. So that certainly caught my attention. And I, as far as Flash's time travel, I still, I think the short scenes that we saw enforce my notion that he sort of accidentally stumbles upon the time travel elements of his abilities.
Oh.
Because he sort of like looks around like, you know, he's sort of surprised at what he's seeing. And just based on the storyboard and how things happen, it's I had that impression. We'll see what happens, but I think that lays the groundwork for, you know, the upcoming Flash film.
Yeah, like
Will
in
be consciously traveling through time.
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like here there's this crisis, and in like the stress of the moment and stuff, maybe he stumbles upon this, you know, aspect of his power, and so he uses it for the immediate danger. But then afterward he might be like, so I have this power that I've, you know, accidentally discovered. What do I really want to do with it? And then that might lead to his solo movie.
Right. And then the explosion, the Wonder Woman bank explosion in the early trailers, you could see the shot where Diana, you know, kneels down to I guess talk to one of the girls. You could
Yeah.
see the wall behind her is blown open. So obviously she doesn't throw the bomb into the air like in the theatrical cut.
Hmm.
And then there was the music, the song choice that they used for that Zach used for this fit really well with what we saw on screen. You know, I had tweeted about how the Minor Fall is focusing on, you know, Superman's hologram because he's dead, and he had a minor fall because he's going to be resurrected.
Yeah.
Then, as they say, Major Lift, it reveals Bruce, who basically is the team leader and lifts everyone up, including resurrecting Superman. Then the Baffled King, they focuses on Arthur. Who is right. And then Lois standing and seeing Superman, you hear the lyric standing before the Lord, and Superman is viewed as, you know, a god. What else? The David played the line about David playing a secret chord.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that represents his last death shout, pleasing Darkseid, because mm-hmm. now, you know, it leaves Earth unprotected. But also, David was a Hebrew king, and Superman has its roots, his Jewish roots,
mm-hmm.
and David fought a Goliath, and Superman here is, you know, fighting Doomsday, who he overcomes, even though mm-hmm. he dies in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the major.
Yeah, that's things. Cool.
Obviously, we saw the Justice League.
Yeah.
Written on the arch, so. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the Hall of Justice crumbled, which we had seen storyboards of.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we can sit here and analyze it, you know, bit by bit, but those are the major things that stood out to me as I was sort of.
Yeah, that's great. And so, yeah, I hadn't really gone through all the lyrics, but I noticed a couple of those, but I definitely had not made some of those connections. But those all seem pretty plausible because we know that this is the kind of stuff that Zach likes to do. And we know that Zach was the one that, like, you know, selected this song. So I think this probably makes quite a bit of sense.
I mean, aside from the obvious hallelujah, we are victorious. That
this is happening. Yeah, I'm also just really excited to see some of, like, the shots that I was looking forward to being back intact, like the gargoyle shot with Batman. Like, right. That's just going to be a nice shot. It's like this, you know, the cinematographer's favorite shot is going to be shown, you know, in full glory. And like Arthur with the waves, it's like, okay, we're going to actually get the correctly framed, like, waves on with Arthur and stuff this time. So I was just
excited. And he actually takes his shirt off, which we didn't see.
Yeah. I also was noticing stuff that I think is maybe, like, happening because, you know, it's not a 2-hour mandate. It's, like, actually allowed to do this thing. Like, with Diana and the warning arrow that came from Themyscira, you know? So in this one, it looks like she actually went to, like, investigate that, you know, the temple where the arrow landed and burned the fire. So, you know, that can be a whole scene instead of just looking at the TV and being like, oh, there's the fire, you know, which is good for doing something in, like, 3 seconds, but it's not as much of, like, what we would want from an epic Justice League movie. In an epic Justice League movie, we want to actually see Wonder Woman, like, you know, realizing this message from her people that she has been separated from for so long. And speaking of the separation, Zack Snyder, he mentioned that all of the characters are isolated in one way or another. Yep. And that, like, was speaking right off.
Which we sort of discussed about during the roundtable, I think.
Yeah, and that's in our, you know, when we started analyzing Justice League, that was one of the things that we caught on as the potential for this movie was to talk, you know, explore the ideas of isolation. What are different ways that people are isolated? And then what are ways that you can make connections and, like, start to build up, you know, family or camaraderie again and break down the isolation. So it seems like we were right on the same page of what Zach was going for. Now, hopefully, I think that'll be more fully realized.
Yeah. Now, going back to the arrow, it's interesting because the angle in which you see the arrow, Will Rowling on Twitter actually pointed out that it sort of looks like Euxis's spear. And presumably, you know, that's where she learns about Darkseid. And so because we've seen that shot of her with the torch, and so presumably going there, that's where she's going to see the murals and discover. So it's an interesting tie-in connection there.
Yeah, so that just feels like maybe a little bit more rich mythology, like history to the world, you know, that we're in.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, cool stuff. We could talk about it a lot more. We probably will. But do you have any final thoughts or other things that you want to bring up before we wrap up? I was kind of hoping to hear some of Junkie XL's, you know, Hulkenberg's music, but I can understand.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, at the very end, but it's the same sort of chords that we heard in the teasers leading up to the teaser. But, I mean, those few seconds are really powerful, and I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah, and just knowing that it's him and that he was involved in prior movies, like, I think that the music eventually will be also something that's better connected from BVS to Justice League.
And there is a panel, I think tomorrow, at some point there's supposed to be a panel of the music of Snyder Cut.
Oh, awesome.
It might be in the September.
You might have got bumped to September. Yeah,
right.
That's cool.
But you know, hopefully they'll explore, you know, more of what Junkie XL did, and that would be really interesting.
Well, it's good talking to you. It's fun that this is happening. This is the movie that we're probably most excited about. I think that's fair to say. There are other movies on the slate as well that were covered in DC Fandom. So if you go over to our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/JLU podcast, we're going to just give some quick reactions to some of the other films as well. So head over to Patreon if you're interested in those. But otherwise, I think we'll wrap it up. Alessandro, it was nice talking to you.
Yeah, and I just want to say thanks to everybody who fought to get this movie released.
Yeah, enjoy this moment. Yeah.
Especially Fiona and Ronaldo and Will Rowland and, you know, everybody that participated in any way. I'm just so grateful that we all came together to make this happen.
Yeah, when they got to the Justice League portion of DC Fandom, the first thing they said was the fans have been calling for this, you know, so they gave the credit, I think, to where it's due. But it's fun to just see that it's actually coming together, so exciting times.
I look forward to analyzing it with you.
Yeah.